Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the April 14th, 2024 service at Plymouth, the third Sunday of Easter. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank. The bread of life opens our eyes. The word of life opens our ears. The risen one shows us God's own brokenness. And by those wounds we are healed. Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Next is the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Next are verses 1 and 2 of Amazing Grace.
That saved.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace that fears believe. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
Psalm 4. Confident plea for deliverance from enemies, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. You gave me room when I was in distress. Be gracious to me. Hear my prayer. How long, you people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety." This is the word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, Spirit's Song.
So we turn to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And again, I'll be doing a four-week series on the epistles of John. And it comes after asking the question, what now? And the last answer we had was, let's go fishing. And you heard that sermon last week. So this is to fill in that question of, so what now? Only this time we say, what now, St. John? Not St. Peter, even though all week that's where my head was. So let's begin. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have this hope in him will purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sin, and in him there is no sin. No one abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So where to now, St. John? This week I had to turn to the writings of Stephen Covey. And if you know the name of Stephen Covey, you know that there are 7 habits of highly effective people and many other books that help deal with effectively using time. And one of the things he points out is that as you are beginning a project or beginning the day or beginning to form your ideas of what you're trying to accomplish, have the end in mind as you begin. And so with that, let's have the end in mind as we start with St. John here in this third chapter of 1 John. The children in class were working on art projects, and today they were working with that material called Play-Doh. You know, it's like clay, but unlike clay, it never dries out. And so you can form it and reform it, do all kinds of things. When I first discovered Play-Doh, well, it was pressed against my comic books, and lo and behold, I pull the image up, and there's the image on my Play-Doh. Well, the kids in this class were really enamored as they got together and began to show off what they'd made with their Play-Doh. And one little girl had made a beautiful angel, body and wings, and even she'd used a plastic fork to sort of scrape in where the feathers of those wings would be. So as they were going around, she held hers up and said, "Look at my angel." And all the kids oohed and awed for all the care that she'd put into it. But moments after that, she just smushed it and began to roll it together. And they said, "Well, now what is it?" And she said, "It's an angel in hiding." Clever, clever. The Bible declares to us that there is an angel in hiding in each one of us. An angel or a saint, and it's yearning to find expression, a way to show itself, peeking out from within. After all, we are created in God's image. So there's a piece of God in each one of us. And it is our great God in that wonderful, deep, and rich love where God adopts us as God's own children, as sons, daughters, where we are willing. And when we allow the Lord of our lives to mold us like balls of Play-Doh, indeed there is an angel inside wanting to get out, wanting to show itself. That's the message from our scripture today. It comes from this first letter of John, and you know, it's not clear where the John of the gospel is the same John writing the epistle. There are some who say it is, and there are other scholars who say, no, there's enough differences to where it's not exactly the same individual, although that there are some themes that do carry from the Gospel of John into the Epistle of John. This letter, 1 John, is written as a loving and anxious sermon to a young church, and perhaps it's written around 100 AD, so there's been about 100 years, at least 70 years, since the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And Pastor John is writing to a group of Christians now that are not the first generation, but perhaps second or even third generation Christians. And as they are forming the church in its early years, their enthusiasm, their confidence, all of that has begun to eke away. And so they are needing to hear John's word of encouragement and words to say, here's what to do now. How shall we then live, St. John? And so he writes these words. And for our text today, it sends two messages. And the first one is, and I'm going to borrow from that wonderful voice that we heard it in the Lion King. It is to say, remember who you are. And you remember in Lion King, the story is about young Simba after the death of his father. And he's being told to remember that he's the son of the king. And so let me try and see if I can imitate James Earl Jones. Simba, remember who you are. See what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are, John says. Every person made in the image of God. And this means that something of the essence of God is in each person. Every Christian is an adopted child of God. And a little reminder of being adopted. We were chosen to be part of this family. That came through to me in a new way when Nick, the chosen son of my brother and his wife, out of an adoption agency, after his mother was taking too many drugs during her pregnancy, and the worry was for Nick whether he would be born dependent upon drugs. Fortunately, he was not. But to hear him talk about paralleling his own Christian life and faith in God to being chosen by his parents now, my brother and his wife, and God choosing him, adopting him as a child. He gets it. And we need to get that as well. Remember who you are. But to all who received him and believed in his name, we find in John chapter 1, verse 12, God gave power to become the children of God. From Romans, it's echoed. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. And again from the Epistle of Galatians, we hear it again. For in Christ Jesus, you are all daughters and sons of God through faith. So let's suppose that you are a 15-year-old without parents. There is a responsible adult who has always loved and cared for you. She wants to adopt you. But according to the courts, that adoption requires your consent. In a similar sense, God has always loved us, always cared for us. Through infant baptism, God declares God's desire to adopt us. But our permission is required of that. That along the life, oftentimes as a young person moves through confirmation, they affirm or confirm the faith that God has put a seed inside them and is planting, watering, and nourishing that seed. At some time in their lives, they say, I want you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. It takes our permission to act in that aspect, to be raised in the faith and suddenly say, I want to make it my own. I want to claim your love for me, dear God. And we become a child of the King of Kings. So that's the first message that Pastor John here in this epistle says to us today. Remember who you are. And the second message is this. Remember what you can become. Verse 2 of our text is magnificent. Listen to it again. Beloved, we are God's children now, but it does not appear what we shall be. We will know what that will be when he, that is Christ, appears. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Seminary professor Bob Stamps is a bald man. And I say this smilingly because I am a bald man, and enjoy this story. Well, Bob and his wife had planned a night out. And so in order to have a night out, to go to a nice casual dinner, nice relaxed setting, they hired a babysitter. It was a neighborhood girl, did a decent job of taking care of their kids when they were gone. And so off they went to their quiet dinner. Well, when they came home, they found that the babysitter had a few words with them quickly as they arrived and said, "Now, not everything went as planned when you were gone. Mostly things went well, but, well, you can see for yourself." And just then, Bob's son came in, and it appeared that the young man had gotten a hold of Bob's clippers. And so what had happened was he'd given himself a haircut. And suddenly he too had this sort of look, just like that. And the babysitter, he was only gone for a few moments. I didn't know what he was doing. When I found him, this is what I found. And the little boy says, "Oh, that's nothing. Just wait till you see my sister." He'd given her a haircut of the same variety. And so Dad was so angry at how he told his son not to mess around with his things, his shaving things especially. And yet the boy had gotten into them, done this to himself and now his sister. And as he was saying, "Now, son, I'm going to have to punish you." And the boy said, Dad, I only wanted to look like you." That night did not end with a spanking, but rather a hug. Is that how we get to resemble Jesus? By shaving our heads like we're a bald man? It's not through a haircut that we resemble our Lord Jesus, but it is in attitude. It is in how we walk and conduct ourselves. And if we are to see the end in mind, remember who we can become because of God's love at work in us. And our desire as Christians is that someday in time we will resemble our Lord Jesus Christ. Much more than haircut, yes, but like our Lord Jesus Christ, none the same. And what does Jesus do? Jesus has a long history of working with ordinary people just like you and me. Some of the ones that he has worked with have been rather scoundrels rather than good, kind people living in the city of St. Helens, Oregon. And in taming the hearts of those scoundrels, taking them from being ordinary people to extraordinary people, is what our Lord Jesus has done regularly with folks. There was the Apostle Paul. He became an ambassador of the gospel to all. He took Jesus as well, took a wishy-washy fisherman named Simon Peter. We've been following his footsteps for weeks. And made Peter the founder of God's church. Jesus took a despised tax collector named Matthew and made him the writer of the first gospel. And here are some more contemporaries. Two South Carolinians who, though seemingly ordinary, became extraordinary because of God at work in them. Mary McLeod Bethune was born in a tiny town in Maysville, 1875. She was the youngest of a large family, 17 children. She was the youngest of 17 children born to freed slaves. At the age of 9, she could neither read nor write. By the age of 11, she went to a Christian school. Afterwards, she attended Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. From there to Daytona Beach, Florida. And at that time in her life, her total wealth accumulated to about $1.50. But she was determined to start a school for black girls. Mary Bethune raised money by selling pies to tourists. The school she founded became Bethune-Cookman College. She served as its first president Later, she helped Franklin Delano Roosevelt start the National Youth Administration, providing employment for youth. Who would ever have guessed that a little illiterate black girl could become through Jesus Christ as God was at work in her life? God takes the ordinary and does the extraordinary. Consider Agatha Burgess. She lived in Buffalo, South Carolina, though at the time I'm focusing on her was 80 years old. She would get up every morning at 5 a.m. to cook. She prepares the food each day for the Meals on Wheels program, and she volunteers there to take it to the homebound persons. In addition, she feeds anyone who else comes into her door, and at that time was charging $2.75 per meal. Many people have asked Agatha, why at her 80-year age, why would she continue to work so hard, get up so early, work so long through the day? And she said, I want to be a person who lives by the side of the road. I want to be a friend to everyone. I can serve my Lord by helping other people. I'm going to do it because I can rest in heaven. Friends, remember what you can become. There is an angel just yearning to burst forth from inside. So stay close to Christ, and that angel will begin to show. For now, you may consider yourself just a little round ball of Play-Doh, but there is an angel inside. We will begin to resemble our Lord and will become extraordinary people. And so I ask this question. When I consider the gifts and opportunities the Lord has given me, what does God want me to attempt in Christ's name? One day, a writer traveled to an isolated monastery to interview a holy man who was said to be quite a genius. And so when the writer sat down with this individual, he said, what does it take? How do you qualify to be called a genius? And the holy man answered, the ability to recognize. The writer then said, well, recognize what? And he said, the ability to recognize a butterfly in a caterpillar, an eagle in the egg, and a saint in a selfish human being. None of us knows what's ahead of us, what tomorrow will bring. But it is absolutely important that whatever comes our way, we remember who we are and we remember who we can become. We are adopted sons and daughters. And with Christ living in us, we are designed to be extraordinary. There is an angel or saint within us, just yearning to burst forth. And may it be for us all an unforgettable journey with the living Christ.
Next are verses 3-5 of Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Next is the hymn, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations."
And give you what is needed for each new day. Amen.